In Zechariah chapter 7, the scene is 2 years after the coronation of Joshua the high priest, the fourth year of Darius' reign, and the 8 night visions given concerning the future of Israel. Chislu corresponds to the month of December. So this is in the month of December, what took place here. And the 4 messages given to Zechariah covering chapter 7 and 8 were in anticipation to a question on fasting posed by a delegation sent to the house of God. The name Sherezer is a Babylonian name, meaning protect the king. And Regemelech is a Hebrew name, which means king's friend. What is happening here is that the Jews had instituted a fast in the 5th month, soon after arriving in Babylon during the time of their captivity. And to commemorate the destruction, of Jerusalem and the temple. Now, if you were to study the other books of the Bible that describe for us what happened during the time of their captivity, God sent another prophet by the name of Ezekiel, and how Ezekiel the prophet was called of God to prophesy, giving to them while they were in Babylon vivid description of how the temple, how the city would fall, what God will do in judgment to their homeland. And it is during that time that Israel knew that God's judgment would come upon them. And you remember earlier we were mentioning the words of Jeremiah in Jeremiah 23. How Jeremiah pronounced a woe upon the people for cheating their neighbors, one against another. They were not fulfilling the laws of God. They were not doing what they ought to do. And God's judgment finally came upon them. And that judgment that God meted out against them, well, caused them to realize, right, that indeed they are in trouble. God is coming after them for their sins. And they instituted at that time a fast to commemorate the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. The question was this: should I weep in the 5th month, separating myself, that is to be fasting, as I've done so many years? Now they are back in the land. Should they continue with the fast? The Lord's answer was a rebuke, that they observed the fast in the 5th and the 7th month, in a fast that is instituted by men, not by God, for themselves and not for God. And sometimes we like to do things to smite ourselves, in our own way, to make a right way with God by our own smiting of ourselves, to make a right way with God when our lives are not right before Him. And by our own methods, we try to make right. So they try to fast at that time. So the Lord rebuked them and said to them that your fasting is instituted by men. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 says, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees. He says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a set countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. If you have a cause before God, and you want to seek God for a way with Him, there is a season, there is a time, well, when we go into a state of fasting. But the Lord says that you are to do so discreetly, secretly. It is not a show of piety. Our fasting, our piety before God is something between us and God. It doesn't mean that, well, you know, we don't appear before others in worship. When it's corporate prayer time, we don't pray. It's not like that. But what we are saying here, right, is that they were observing a fasting in a very ritualistic way. Their fasting, our Lord observed, was for themselves and not for God. And sometimes we have that tendency. It's like an escape. Instead of dealing with our problem, instead of facing our sins as they are, well, we go into a different mode. And we think that by our defacing ourselves, we can, you know, make a right path for ourselves without confessing our sins. Without, you know, we can, by our acts of service, think that, you know, when you do this for the Lord, you do this for the Lord, and you do this other thing for the Lord, then, you know, my conscience is soothed because I'm doing something good for the Lord. When the sin that we have is not dealt with, that was what happened to the people of Israel. God was destroying their temple instead of, you know, they ought to be repenting in sackcloth and ashes. Jesus likewise taught that fasting should be in secret and not a showmanship. Fasting should be in secret. The work that we do must be true and sincere before God, before men. No use to do anything for a show. Because at the end of it, it doesn't help us. We will be the worse for it, thinking that we would be well. There are those who prophesy in the name of the Lord, and you know, at the end of their journey, the Lord said, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye wicked. Wow. How sad it is. And so the Lord tells us that we are to have a right motive in doing what we do in life. Why fast? Well, fasting is a laying aside of the common necessity and pleasure of life so that we may have more time and concentrated effort and focus on the Lord. You want to spend time to pray, seek the Lord, read the Bible, and you don't want, you know, the time spent to prepare your meals. You know, we take a long time to prepare a meal. One meal to another meal. Before you finish, you are ready for to prepare for the next meal again. And you can be spending so much time on these things. And there are times when you don't want to, because you want to seek a way out. There's something, there's some problem in the life that you need help. And you don't want your need to prepare for the next meal, prepare for the coming meal, to get in the way of your time with God. You are seeking the will of God. You want to know what is the will of God for you. And therefore you take a time out to have undivided attention, to be given to prayer, to worship, to the Word of God. And it may be during a time of crisis in your life, there is a special need in your life, and you are taking this time to fast, to pray, so that you may find a way out. You may be able to find a way out. Find to know the will of God for the problem that you are facing. You want to find out what is the will of God. And you need to take time to know. You want to be quiet before God. You don't want to be encumbered with the things of life. And you want to take time. So, fasting. You take time to pray. You take time to seek the Lord. Before Esther went to the king to seek a way out for his people, when the decree was passed to kill all the Jews in the Persian Empire, Esther prayed, fasted, and he asked the people around him to also pray and fast so that God may be with them and they would be spiritually, mentally alert. There are people who can't fast. They will get into health problems, whether it's the stomach. There are those that cannot fast. And it would be a travesty for one to impose such piety upon another. He has a problem with the stomach, perhaps. Cannot fast. You will fall sick and you will become worse. But there are those who are able to. And the Lord provides this as a means by which we can take time to think concerning our situation in life. You may be on a crossroad and you needed God's word to guide you. You needed God's wisdom. And the Spirit of God need to enlighten you, need to show you what is the way. Daniel did that. He fasted for 2 weeks on the 69th year when Israel was in Babylon in order to seek a way out for his people. He wanted to know what is the future for Israel. And he fasted for 2 weeks. And during that 2 weeks, he was wondering, why is it that it takes so long to get an answer from the Lord? Everything seems quiet. And he was told by the angel who came to him, there was great resistance. There was a great battle that was going on in heaven. There was a fighting that is going on in heaven. The angel was resisted to come before God, to come to Daniel, to show him concerning the future. And, you know, when we pray, you realize you seek a way out for things that is going on in life. And you realize that it's a spiritual warfare that is going on in the heavenlies. And sometimes you may not see and you may not hear and you may not understand what God is saying to you. What is it that God is saying? And you want to know what the Lord is saying to you. And you are taking time to pray. Well, indeed, there is a time for fasting. It is an exercise of self-humiliation. Not for self-interest, but for God's glory. It's not showmanship, but an act of worship to render the body more susceptible to the higher interests of the soul in the worship of God. Self-humiliation, highly profitable when we come before God to seek His will. And, you know, if we would daily think concerning what is God's will for our lives, take time in our devotion with the Lord, God will show us the way. But let us not be discouraged when we feel that, you know, we don't seem to be receiving an answer. God knows what is going on in our life. When we utter a prayer to God, God knows. The Lord said, or David said, that, you know, the Lord has kept all my tears in a bottle. God kept. God see. God knows what you are going through. Your struggle. How you are agonizing in your life for a way out. God will provide that way for you. But you must not give up. You must tarry with the Lord. And acting and fasting is a means by which we can worship the Lord and submit ourselves in humility to Him. When we fast, we do not make God love us more. Whether we fast longer, we fast shorter, but it helps us because God will come to us as we seek Him to find strength from Him to give the victory for life. It is said the best of all medicines is resting and fasting. Take time to rest. Oftentimes, when people go into depression, it's because they have not been able to rest well. Their minds were unable to rest well. Too much going on inside. And the Lord wants us to not just a physical rest, but the resting of the mind. That you cast your care upon the Lord and let the Lord carry it for you. Resting and fasting. The Lord teach us a way that would bring His presence into our lives. And the Lord also tells us how important it is that we would, well, by corollary, serve Him with a pure heart. Zechariah 7 verse 9 to 10 says, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart." Here, the Lord reminds us that He knows what is going on in our lives and that He sees what we are doing. And the Lord tells us that we are to serve Him with a clean heart. And how can we do so? Well, by a mind, a heart that is attuned to the things of God. Like we said earlier in our sermon, how to love our neighbor. And the Lord provide for us the solution. And so we need to be sensitive in our everyday life to practice it. And you see, the laws of God are given to us a little bit here, a little bit there. Today we learn about this. Yesterday we learned something else. But and if each one of this you have learned well, you have taken time, you have taken heart to reveal it in your mind, in your heart, and then the time of decision making will bring God's word to remembrance, so that you will have the wisdom what to do, how to execute a true judgment. The Lord wants us to maintain a pure heart. And how can we do so? Well, here the Lord said to Israel, show mercy and compassion every man to his brother. Oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. Let none imagine evil against his brother in your heart. How important it is that we dare to be true. And as we seek to do our best for the Lord, God makes a way out for us. In Israel, there were there was trouble. Because the law of God has not been taught to the people of God. So there were a lot of wrongdoings. Everything was so messy. And step by step, the Lord is trying to unknot all the so-called dead knots that has been tied in the lives of God's people. And it takes time to unknot a knot. You know, you have tried unknotting a knot. There are some knots where you say it's dead knot. Dead knot means, wow, it is tight, so tight that you can't unknot it. Yeah. Israel had been away for 70 years. During those times, they have neglected many of them to seek the will of God, seek the ways of God. And they were living their lives by their own wisdom, by their own strength, and also receiving the end of it, their own folly. Their own folly. Right? The Lord tells them that indeed, when we know not the will of God, when we do not the things of God, right, we are in trouble. The Lord show us a better way. And therefore, society is chaos, chaotic. Lives are chaotic. Because God has always a right way. And we need to seek the right way from God. And each situation in your life may be different. But God has always a way out for you. And therefore, the people of God needed to take time to seek the will of God. But they refused, verse 11 says, to hearken and put away the shoulder and stop their ears, that they should not hear. You see, the people were so stubborn. Page 4 of your notes. Page 4. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it came to pass, or it is come to pass, that as he cried and they would not hear, so they cried and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. There are those times when God speak and we will not hear. God tells us that we will not do. We insist on our own way. And then comes the consequences. The Lord says, they cry, I would not hear. Because he cried, and they would not hear. The Lord says, but I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. By our doing, we build or we tear down. And so the Lord provides for us the admonition. Deuteronomy 8, verse 11 says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land from the house of bondage. How easy for us it is that when we would follow the Lord and then God blesses us and then we forgot the Lord. How easy it is when you take the blessings of God as it were for granted. The people of God, their hearts, the Lord described as a adamant stone, refused to repent. And they used acts of fasting, acts of service as a way of escaping from having to deal with their sin problem. The Lord said, it won't work. It won't work. Their hearts were like an adamant stone, like a very hard stone, because they refused to repent. They refused to obey the law of God. And the intensity of their refusal is described as them having pulled away the shoulder. A pictorial description of their backslidden state, insisting on their own ways, and they stopped their ears. It's an expression of stubbornness and rebellion. Migdal, to be made insensitive. This message is not directed to the unbelievers. But this message is directed to the people of God, having the Word of God and yet not appropriating it in their heart and in their head. The expression "to walk the talk" is used to describe professing Christians who live exemplary lives. But here Israel was neither walking right nor talking right. A very sad state in the life of God's people in Israel. But the long suffering of God has a limit. Israel, in their stubbornness, had crossed the line. You know, the Lord said, "Don't cross the line." We cannot repent too soon because we do not know how soon it will be that it is too late. God is love, but God is also a judge. Out of His love for His people, He had to chastise them to wake them up from their drunken state. The prophet relates the 70 years of captivity as a reminder to God's people that He will punish if they continue to be in their sin. Have you been running your life according to your own lust? May we repent. Have we been running our lives according to our own proud heart? Let us also repent. God has seen the rebellious heart of His people and has given the warning. Hence, we are to take heed before it's too late. May the Lord help us. May He make a right way for us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. May Thou be gracious to make a way for us. Lord, help us to come before Thee and confess our sins. And Lord, may Thou provide us a right way. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.